Hard to imagine a more dangerous wall. A steep and difficult rock band guards the base, and above that, the face is stacked with multi-tiered hanging glaciers and seracs. The complete length of the summit ridge is a continuous mass of large cornices, and the face is generally angled such that a snowfall will trigger an immediate barrage of spindrift avalanches. There is no line which could be considered remotely safe to climb, and camping in the valley of the Ruth Glacier's West Fork, beneath the face, provides an intimidating and humbling experience as avalanches roar from the wall on a regular basis, with colossal blast clouds sweeping the entire width of the valley. It was hard for my inexperienced mind to imagine that the face had been climbed when I was 8 years old. But I knew there were two climbers who had ignored conventional wisdom and believed, however naively, that their skills and the strength of their partnership were powerful enough that they could create their own luck. Jack Roberts and Simon McCartney were not only very skilled climbers, they were also bold and brash, and any ascent of Huntington's North Face required such an attitude, if not outright arrogance, to believe one could survive it. Roberts submitted a report to the 1979 American Alpine Journal, which was an entertaining read, written as a stream of consciousness, a metaphorical style, which wryly and eloquently alluded to how serious and dangerous the ascent had been. More specifically, his report focused less on the details of the climb and more on the situations, his connection with Simon, and dreamy ruminations on what drives him to seek such experiences. The article was in fact a brilliant essay on difficult alpine climbing, which made a strong impression upon my youthful and ambitious mind. One line succinctly captured the essence of the ascent. We were definitely bluffing our way up this mountain without a clue where we were going. The only thing that was certain was that the correct way off was up. Uninterested in anything except survival, Simon and I fled from one sheltered spot to another. There is often a raw simplicity that characterizes hardcore alpinism, which is also one of its greatest attractions. I would allow these words to guide me into and through many intense situations of my own in the future. Roberts continued. On again and moving higher, I was puzzled, a trifle alarmed. The belay stance was supposed to be here. It must have moved. Deciding not to sound panic-stricken, I yelled down to Simon, "No belay here! Move the belay up 15 feet more!" Simon didn't understand. "Here I come! Got me on?" For a while, we climbed roped together without belays. Simply being on a glacier was serious to me at the time I read this passage, and I was in complete awe of people who climbed technical ground in the mountains. This sort of boldness, described in casual, humorous, and low-key terms, left me dumbstruck. It revealed attitudes and options which up until then I had not considered possible. Roberts reflected further during one of Simon's leads. Climbers who choose to pioneer first ascents up difficult and dangerous faces on high mountains have chosen to be crazy. People such as Simon and I. For my part, I have chosen to be crazy in order to cope with a crazy world, and have adopted craziness as a lifestyle. Only on becoming convinced that the world I left behind in Los Angeles is sane could I give up my craziness. And that cannot be done. A climber entering the subculture of a climbing community accepts his alienation from larger society and proclaims he is a full-fledged, normal person, that it is others who are abnormal. Simon, meanwhile, is gripped speechless above me, unaware that his faithful belayer is spacing out on crystals of ice and snow. There is some comfort to know that I am tied into somebody who is also crazy. The words resonated in my consciousness as I read them. I, too, was raised in Southern California. I was 25 years old, 3 years out of school and freshly laid off from an office job that was deeply dissatisfying compared to the life of mountain adventure I dreamed of, and which consumed every one of my weekends. I was at the headwaters of the life I truly wanted to lead, and Jack's words strengthened my resolve to take the proper path. I was also in the early stages of one of my greatest alpine partnerships, that with my friend Joe Puryear, and aspiring